This is The Takeaway. I'm John Huckenberry. Thanks so much for listening. And have we reached a moment of truth in the battle for control of Syria after nearly 2 years of what many are calling a civil war? Here's President Barack Obama speaking with Barbara Walters of ABC News.
We've made a decision that the Syrian opposition coalition is now inclusive enough, is reflective and representative enough of the Syrian population, that we consider them the legitimate representative of the Syrian people in opposition to the Assad regime. And so we will provide them recognition. And obviously with that recognition comes responsibilities.
With recognition comes responsibility, the president says. Would we call this an Obama doctrine regarding Syria? The U.S. has recognized the Syrian opposition and its loose coalition of expatriate groups, former regime figures, and Islamist militia groups.
It is a big step. There is a small element of the of those who oppose the Assad regime that are, in fact, affiliated with al-Qaeda in Iraq. And we have designated them, al-Nusra, as a terrorist organization.
President Obama speaking with Barbara Walters on ABC News. There's plenty to sort out here in that Syrian opposition. Supporters of the Syrian opposition are in Marrakesh, Morocco today, receiving the endorsement and recognition from the Friends of Syria International Coalition, which includes the United States. Joining us now from Marrakesh is Lara Satrakian, a journalist and founder of Syria Deeply, a news website that covers the Syrian civil war. Welcome to the program.
It's a joy to be with you.
So what is the significance of this meeting and what is happening now and how likely is it to bolster the credibility of the opposition?
I think it's already bolstered the credibility and the muscle behind the Syrian opposition, what's known as the SOC, the Syrian Coalition. What we're hearing right now are various countries standing up and pledging various levels of aid, money, and I've just seen an advanced copy, a draft of what this group is going to release to the world, and it includes wording of support and recognition that the Syrian opposition has the right to defend itself in so many words, which is basically a diplomatic cover for potentially assisting with more arms to the rebel groups or other kinds of military support that would give them protective cover in northern Syria. And why that matters is because from what we understand, that's what it would take for the opposition to feel empowered to go into northern Syria and set up any kind of transitional government.
Would we call this a government in exile at this point, or is that premature?
They don't call themselves that just yet. They met on Sunday to make themselves a government in exile and to appoint a prime minister, but they held off. It was either they couldn't agree on a name is what some people are telling me. Others are saying they really wanted the international community to step up and hand over the cash, sign some checks, and give them the kind of support they wanted before they went ahead and formed a government with ministers and prime minister and all that.
In terms of U.S. support here, we're talking about military details, some of which you've covered, and I'd love for you to elaborate on those if you possibly can. But we're also talking about broad diplomatic recognition of a lot of groups that the United States has accused of potentially being essentially arms of al-Qaeda. How can this be sorted out?
It is a mess, and a few branches that are in play right now. One is that there is a certain level of military cooperation, in a sense, with the opposition, both because you see NATO taking effect, moving Patriot missiles and troops to the Turkish-Syrian border that effectively puts the U.S. on Syria's doorstep. And also what we'd reported in an exclusive on SyriaDeeply.org was that we have been told by multiple diplomatic sources that the U.S. and its allies have been training some rebel brigades in chemical weapons security and in various kind of strategic skills that are necessary in this phase, this potentially critical next step where we would transition from an Assad-led Syria to whatever is meant to come next.
Let's focus on those details there. You said being trained in chemical weapons security. Now, that's different from being trained to use weapons of mass destruction against the Syrian government, yes?
Right, of course. And what we had heard specifically is that the U.S. and allies have hired contractors to train rebel brigades in neighboring countries in all the ways they can help around contingency planning for securing Syria's chemical weapons. Everything from 24-hour Skype links with rebel brigades inside Syria to help with monitoring on the ground, to I had even heard anecdotes from one of the diplomatic sources, an Arab official, saying that they're helping train rebels in how to bribe guards at these facilities to stay on, to flip sides, and to ensure some sort of stability and continuity, chemical weapons being such a priority for the international community that they seem to be doing whatever they can from many directions to try to secure those sites. There are dozens of them.
Reporting from Marrakesh, Shalera Satrakian, journalist and founder of Syria Deeply, a news website that's been covering the Syrian civil war. Lara, thanks so much.
Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.